ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದಾನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಾಯಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ್, ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ವೃಂದ ಕಿ ಜಯ್, ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಿ ಜಯ್. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashtaprayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಸೊ ವಿ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಯಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 42 So you did till 42 yesterday. Okay. Yatha, you have the book or electronic in front of you? So please move. Oh, this text 40 is here. Okay. Yatha, yatha bhagavato bhaktya paramaya abhida ನೃಪಶ್ಚೈದ್ಯಾದಯ ಸಾತ್ಯಂ ಹರೇಸ್ತಚ್ಚಿಂತಯಾಯಯು ಯಥಾ ಯಥಾ ಭಗವತೋ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ಪರಮಯಾಭಿದಾ ನೃಪಶ್ಚೈದ್ಯಾದಯ ಸಾತ್ಮ್ಯಂ ಹರೇಸ್ತಚ್ಚಿಂತಯಾಯಯು ಯಥಾ ಯಥಾ ಭಗವತೋ ಭಕ್ತ್ಯಾ ಪರಮಯಾಭಿದಾ ನೃಪಶ್ಚೈದ್ಯಾದಯ ಸಾತ್ಮ್ಯಂ ಹರೇಸ್ತಚ್ಚಿಂತಯಾಯಯು. Yatha yatha, just as Bhagavataha of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhaktya by devotional service, Paramaya supreme, Abhida incessantly thinking of such activities, Nripaha kings, Chaitya Adayaha, Shishupala, Dantavakra, and others. Sam Satmyam, the same form. Harehe, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tachindaya, by constantly thinking of Him. Yayuhu, returned home back to Godhead. By devotional translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada ki jai, by devotional service, pure devotees who incessantly think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead receive bodies similar to His. This is known as Sarupya Mukti. Although Shishupal, Dantavakra, and other kings thought of Krishna as an enemy, they also achieved the same result. Purport. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, in connection with Lord Chaitanya's instructions to Sanatan Goswami, it is explained that a devotee should externally execute his routine devotional service in a regular way, but should always inwardly think of the particular mellow in which he is attracted to the service of the Lord. This constant thought of the Lord makes the devotee eligible to return home back to Godhead. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam eti. After giving up his body, a devotee does not again receive a material body, but goes back to Godhead and receives a spiritual body resembling those of the Lord's eternal associates whose activities he followed. However, the devotee likes to serve the Lord. He may constantly think of the Lord's associates, the cowherd boys, the gopis, the Lord's father and mother, his servants, the trees, land, animals, plants, and water in the Lord's abode. Because of constantly thinking of these features, one acquires a transcendental position. Kings like Shishupal, Dantavakra, Kamsa, Paundraka, Narakasura, and Shalva were all similarly delivered. This is confirmed by Madhvacharya. Paundrake narake cheva, Shalve kamse cha rukmini, Avishtastu harer bhaktas, tad bhaktya harima apire. Paundraka, Narakasura, Shalva, and Kamsa were all inimical towards the Personality of Godhead. But because all these kings constantly thought of Him, they achieved the same liberation, Sarupya Mukti. The Jnana Bhakta, the devotee who follows the path of Gyada, also attains the same destination. If even the enemies of the Lord achieve salvation by constantly thinking about the Lord, what is to be said of pure devotees who always engage in the Lord's service and who think of nothing but the Lord in every activity? Text 41. Akhyatam sarvam etatte yanmam tvam pariprashtavan damaghosha sutadinam harer samtyam api dvisham. Excuse me. Everything you asked me about how Shishupal and others attained salvation, although they were inimical, has now been explained to you by me. And I'm supposed to do 42 as well. So, okay, we'll do 42 also. Om Ajnana Tamirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯ ಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾ ಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಓಹ್ ಥ್ಯಾಂಕ್ ಯು ಪ್ರಭು. If we were given the, actually we do have it, but let's say this is just for the sake of imagination. Let's consider if Srila Prabhupada, in his extending Krishna consciousness to all of us, gave us one of two options. He said you could either wake up early in the morning for Mangala Arati every day, even if it is winter in Chicago, bundle up, sit down, chant 16 rounds as attentively as you can, then for about 8 or 9 hours a day, you know, physically exert yourself in offering and rendering different kinds of services. Then you again come for arati, then you hear class again, then have some milk and popcorn or some simple dinner, lie down in austere conditions, then do all of that again and again and again, every day, year after year. That's one method. And you will get sarupya mukti at the end of this life. If you did it properly, you would get the form. If you could get a form that is very similar to Lord Vishnu's. Or, instead of doing all this, just be very angry towards Krishna and constantly think about him. And you'll also get sarupya mukti. What would we choose? And that is what Yudhishthira Maharaj is a little perplexed by. What? So many sages. Here's the Yatha Yatha Bhagavato Bhaktya Paramaya Abhida. There are so many sages who sit in meditation, trance, controlling their genitals, controlling their mind and tongue and senses. You heard so many times from Rupa Goswami, Vacho Vegam, Manaso Krodha Vegam. And they achieve a particular destination. And here you have Chedi Raja. Chaidya means king of Chedi. So Chedi Raja, who's Sishupal, Dantavakra. Fellows were having sex without any limitation with anyone they wanted. They were eating like anything. They were enjoying their senses like anything. And above all of this, they were extremely envious and angry towards Krishna. They also get sarupya mukti. Come on. What is this? Can you explain that? Some devotees have difficulty, at least in the beginning, where when you are preaching to a new crowd and you tell them, Krishna says, at the time of death, if you think of me, you will come to me. Oh, even if I'm very lusty, sense gratifier, at the time of death, if I think of Krishna, will that help? Yeah. Oh, I'll take that path. That's easy. No problem. That's easy. Why I have to work like you guys so hard? You know, look at all of you, so skinny, frail. If all I have to do is think of Krishna at the time of death, that's the concession ticket, right? Why not that one? So it sometimes seems unfair, at least just for the sake of discussion, it seems unfair that the sages who worked so hard and the demons who were enjoying like anything, with especially being angry and envious towards Krishna, they get the same destination. Putana came with poisoned nipples and gave Krishna milk, and she gets the position of dhatri, nurse, in spiritual world, right? Isn't that what Uddhava said? Uddhava said, Aho bakiyam stana kalakutam. Stana is breasts. Kalakutam is this very deadly poison. Jigham sayad yat apayat. And she gets dhatri uchitam. She gets the position most befitting, the position of a mother. So he says, Kimva dayalum sharanam. How can I take shelter of anyone more merciful? I mean, is there anyone more merciful than Krishna? So what the whole idea behind this, yesterday we were hearing Shishupal's story. I don't think I can narrate it as dramatically and nicely as Prabhu did. It's described, one devotee was sharing, that Shishupal, he had this blessing from Krishna, that up to 100 insults, Krishna will tolerate. After 100, then Krishna won't keep quiet. So he knew this curse. He knew. So it said that every time he would confront Krishna, he would throw 99 insults at Krishna and be quiet after that. So that way he was always, you know, protected, because he would not insult Krishna 100 times. But by the time this Rajasuya Yajna had come, Krishna had stolen Rukmini away. Then Krishna had defeated Jarasandha, because Jarasandha went on behalf of Shishupal, because they were friends, very close friends. So by this time, Shishupal had lost all his counting ability. Right? When you're very angry, and you're angry to such a degree, you're not counting how many times I've said it. Someone else has to tell us, you told me a fool 5 times, Prabhu. Oh, I didn't notice it. So Shishupal, his counter went beyond 99. And as soon as it hit 100, Sudarshan Chakra came. Because he had gone beyond the limit of his checking himself with anger and envy towards Krishna. So why would these people get the same destination? There is one quality in the sages and in these demons, and that quality is that they were constantly thinking of Krishna. Abhida, here it says, Abhida means incessantly thinking of such activities. They were so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that they went back to Godhead. Of course, the distinction is that the sages think with love, bhaktya, and the demons think of Krishna out of envy. For Krishna, all he cares about is someone is thinking about him. In that sense, the atheists are also, Prabhupada says, Krishna conscious. Because the atheists are constantly thinking of God, perhaps even more than the devotees. Because they're only thinking how to defeat this concept called God. So they're very absorbed in it. But Rupa Goswami tells us that although one may get liberated, that is like you're given something in such a way that beyond that, unless there is love for Krishna that is fully developed, one can't move forward. So what this constant thinking of Krishna does for these demons is that they come face to face with Krishna. They are personally killed by Krishna. Because that anger is such that they want to kill Krishna, and because they're incessantly thinking of Krishna, Krishna appears in front of them, but in a feature that fulfills their desire to kill him, to fight with him. Now, we are not aspiring for such darshan of Krishna. We are aspiring for constantly thinking of him out of love and serving him out of love. That's what we are trying to cultivate. So it is called anukulyasya. Anukula means favorable to Krishna. Favorable to Krishna's heart. Same thing. And that's what we want to develop. Because through that, we don't see Krishna in the feature of death. We see Krishna in the feature of a loving friend or lover or a parent or a child or a master and servant relationship. That's the distinction. And by contacting Krishna, they become purified. So we are not asked to cultivate bhakti in a pratikula fashion. Pratikula is against favors of Krishna, against unfavorable to Krishna. We're not asked to develop bhakti like that. So Yudhishthira Maharaj's surprise has been answered, that this is because Krishna is extremely merciful. He doesn't consider. Yesterday there was this Rupa Goswami's verse, part of it. He says, Kamad, Dveshad, Bhayat, Snehad. Yena, Tasmat, Kena, Api, Upayena. Yena, Kena, Mana, Krishna, Niveshayet. So Rupa Goswami says, it doesn't matter how you think of Krishna. Kamad, out of lusty desires. Kubja, Maharaj showed us, her name was Trivakra. She was crooked in three places. She had a hunchback. She was very ugly. But she had lusty desire for Krishna, such that she wanted to serve him. As soon as she saw Krishna, she offered him sandalwood paste, all the wonderful fragrances that she was going to take for Kamsa, and gave it to Krishna. And Krishna, after accepting from her, put one foot on her toes, and with his index finger under her chin, he did a little chiropractic. Pulled her and straightened her up. And by the touch of Krishna, because Krishna is beauty personified, his touch transformed her into such a beautiful woman. Suddenly. And that touch came because inside she had that beauty of devotional service in her. So Krishna straightened her up fully. So Kamad. Next is Dveshad. Dvesha means out of envy or out of anger. Even if a person approaches Krishna out of anger, because they are absorbed in anger, when someone's angry, one is fully absorbed. Recently in our Bhagavad Gita discussions, the point was brought up. Is it easy or difficult to concentrate? That was the point. And generally we say, oh, it's very difficult to concentrate during japa. Correct? But then we say, I don't know how to concentrate. So the discussion was, actually, to concentrate on something is natural in us. For example, when we are upset with someone, are we absorbed by those thoughts? We are absorbed to such a degree that it doesn't matter what we are doing. Our absorption continues, whether we are cutting vegetables, even reading Prabhupada's book, or sitting in japa. Our mind is absorbed on that anger, whatever that person that has triggered the anger. So we are used to complete absorption. What we are not used to is the object of absorption. Absorption is very natural, no problem. Right? We have that experience. If something is bothering us, It stays there. It stays to such a degree that you cannot get it out of your mind. Even if you say, I don't want to think about this anymore. 5 minutes later, you're still thinking about it. So absorption is not a problem. The object of absorption is the problem. And the whole process of devotional service is to make Krishna the object of our absorption. And that is why it's difficult, because the mind, I would say naturally in the sense of conditioned state, is drawn away from Krishna. It has great absorption away from Krishna. It's called Asat Trishna. Trishna means intense thirst or intense attraction. Asat Trishna. The mind is conditioned very, very much to just flow like the Ganges without any obstruction. Gange Vogham Udanvati, towards matter. And Kunti Devi is praying, please let my mind flow like the Ganges without any interruption towards you. It flows like Ganges, no problem. It's just flowing away from you. Please help me flow, let the mind flow towards you. So these persons, they have that intensity. And here's a whole list given by Madhvacharya. In this, Narada Muni just says, Chaitya Adayaha, Shishupal, Dantavakra, etc. Madhvacharya gives the list. Paundraka, you know the story of Paundraka. No? Krishna book? Paundraka is a fellow who was... who had two arms and he had darkish features. So he pasted two hands to his body. And now he was walking with four arms. And he sent a note to Krishna in Dwaraka. You are not Vasudev, I am Vasudev. I am Narayana. And I am the one who actually is carrying the conch, the disc, the club and the lotus flower. And you, Krishna, you're an imposter. You should give these up. So when Krishna read this letter in the Sudharma hall, in the presence of Balaram, Uddhava and all the King Surasena and all that, they all burst out laughing. They burst out laughing at the stupidity of Paundraka. So Krishna and Balaram said, let's go find out how this Paundraka looks. So when they went, they saw him standing with his four-armed form. Two real hands and two pasted like in a Sunday school drama. And they were like, ha, this guy's going to come to fight with us. And in a moment, Krishna Sudarshan Chakra cut off those two artificial arms. And Paundraka was like, oh, what happened? And the next thing he knew, his head got cut off. Because he was imitation Krishna. He was angry. How can you be Vasudev? I am Vasudev. Narakasura, another fellow who had captured 16,000 princesses. And Krishna killed Narakasura. And Narakasura is very, very... actually he put a lot of princes, not princesses. Princes in jail. And Krishna fought him and released those people. And next was Shalva. Shalva is another fellow who came and fought. He had an aerial chariot and it could suddenly appear and disappear. It could become invisible. And Shalva was fighting with Krishna and was like, where is he throwing all these arrows from and all these shouting and whole voices? Very formidable, but angry at Krishna. You know why they were all angry with Krishna? Because one of them was angry with Krishna. They were all friends with the fellow who was angry with Krishna, so they were all angry with Krishna. Enemy of enemy is a friend. When Shishupal was slighted by Krishna, right? We heard a few days ago, we saw in the PowerPoint, Rukmini wrote a letter to Krishna, please come and take me away. If Krishna had kidnapped Rukmini a month before her wedding, right? It would have been a different story. You know when Krishna kidnapped Rukmini? On the morning of her wedding. Because if he had done a month ago, Shishupal would have been in his palace, he would have received a message or a text, Rukmini kidnapped, sorry dude. But it was not like that. He had dressed up, all his followers had come with him, all the other kings had come, and they were in procession going to see Rukmini. She had come out of Durga's temple. And it's described in the Krishna book, this is the first time all the kings and princes saw Rukmini. They had never seen her because she was chaste. She always stayed indoors. So they only heard about her beauty. This is the first time they saw. And her beauty is described. Her teeth were perfectly ordered like jasmine buds. Perfectly shaped. Her fingers were perfectly slender. The nails were shining like anything. Her hair was black and curly. In fact, it was tied nicely except one little strand or lock that was curly around her eyes, about her forehead. And she was dressed very gorgeously. And her beauty was so fascinating that when she stood like this, Shishupal's friends, all these kings, were sitting on top of elephants and horses. They fell off the elephants and horses because they were so intoxicated, so shocked by that beauty. There's an English saying, fell off the chair. They fell off the elephants. It's described, they fell off. Such stunning beauty. And Shishupal, imagine if all your friends are falling off the girl you're going to marry, and it's like, wow, I'm so lucky. This is the girl I'm marrying. At that moment, Krishna kidnaps Shishupal. What an insult. And that is what Shishupal could not bear, that insult. And because he became angry, all his buddies, Jayadrath, don't worry, over. They didn't like Krishna. The word Dantavakra, you know what it means? Dantavakra means fellow with crooked teeth. Shishupal's best friend had crooked teeth. Dantavakra. And so naturally, when he saw Rukmini's beautiful teeth, I'm sure he was like, whoa. So Shishupal, Dantavakra, etc. And then another person on the list is Kamsa. Kamsa had nothing, no reason to be angry with Krishna. The only reason was, he had heard a sound in the sky, Akashavani, a prophetic voice that said, Devaki's eighth son will kill you. And that was his anger. Towards a child that was not even born. Why? Because his sense of his own protection and his own honor in life or preservation was more important. And what was the other list? Kamsa, we're all inimical towards. And so there are so many others. Ravana. Why was Ravana angry with Lord Ramachandra? No reason. Ravana's anger has no reason. The only thing he was angry with was, how can he have such a stunning wife? I want to have that woman. That is how he became maddened by lust. And he had never seen her. He was sitting in Lanka, 1,000 miles away or more. And she was in Panchavati, which is some forest, Dandakaranya forest, before they had entered, then they were there in Panchavati. All he heard was Shurpanaka go and tell Ravana, this Ram who cut off my ears and nose, he has a very beautiful wife. She's so beautiful that none of your queens match. How can he have something I don't have? I'm going to kidnap her. Everyone told him, don't be foolish. Please don't mess with Lord Ram. She's not your wife. Give her back. His father told him. Even Kumbhakarna told him, don't be foolish. You'll call upon death for you and for me. Return her. No. We'll face it. Okay. But Ravana was absorbed in thinking of Lord Ram. All these persons were also absorbed in thinking of Lord Ramachandra. So Prabhupada writes, if even the enemies of the Lord, this is the punchline, if even the enemies of the Lord achieve salvation by constantly thinking about the Lord, what is to be said of pure devotees who always engage in the Lord's service and who think of nothing but the Lord in every activity? So one may get salvation, that's a relief from the material condition, but developing love is more important. And we are given the process by which we don't have to face Krishna in such a form of anger and fighting with him. Although anger is one of the 12 rasas, 5 are primary and there are 7 secondary rasas that get mixed. But the idea is that the 5 primary are the ones that manifest for the living entity. So then Narada Muni is telling Yudhishthir Maharaj, everything you've asked me, I've explained. Basically, I've explained to you, Yudhishthir Maharaj, that Krishna is extremely compassionate, is very, very infinitely merciful to such a degree that it is incomprehensible how he is merciful. And the reason we are to discuss this is because we have a tendency, a conditioned soul has a tendency of what's called anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism means to reduce God to a human level and think of how Krishna would think and behave on the basis of how we think and behave. If I were to, let's say, do something to you, upset you for some reason, then I would fairly assume Jordan is upset with me because I've done something. I've spoken something bad about him, or I've stolen something from him, or something, right? I've done you something that's unfavorable. So your feeling upset with me is, I think I know that. I can accept that. And I take that and project it on Kishore Kishore. He must be upset with me because something I did. It may not be necessary that way. Krishna doesn't think the way we think. And to know how Krishna thinks, how his heart is, we need Narada Muni or Krishna directly telling us, this is how I think, this is how I see. When Durvasa Muni went to, this weekend we saw all this, when Durvasa Muni went to meet Lord Vishnu, you know what the meaning of the word Durvasa means? There are two meanings. Vasa means clothing, but it also means to stay, a place of dwelling. To stay is called Vasa. So Durvasa means bad clothing. Now Durvasa, bad clothing, literally means because he's an expansion of Lord Shiva, he's not into dressing up very well. He's an ascetic. He doesn't care how nicely he's dressed. Perhaps he doesn't even care whether he's dressed. Lord Shiva, he's not dressed. He sits in the crematorium with ash smeared all over his body, a garland of skulls. He doesn't care how he's dressed. Durvasa Muni also doesn't care. So it's called Durvasa. Another meaning of Durvasa means someone who's very difficult to live with. So because of his anger, it's not easy to live with him because you never know what's going to irk his anger. So it's called Durvasa. So when Durvasa Muni went to Lord Vishnu, we hear about the inner workings of the Lord's heart. He says, oh, I'm totally dependent on my devotee. Sorry, I cannot help you. If my devotee forgives you, great. Otherwise, sorry. Because I'm completely given. I'm surrendered to my devotee. This is the Lord's heart. So wherever he speaks about himself, these are special verses. When a devotee speaks of Krishna's heart, then they're very, very special. So the Bhagavad Gita is places where Krishna speaks about himself. There are a few verses like that, which are very confidential and what we say intimate. He talks about how he thinks, how he feels, how he is moved by his devotee's love. Those are the special verses. Then the Bhagavatam, he gives even more insight into his how he operates when he meets the gopis, or he meets Prahlad, or he meets Dhruva, or he's talking to Uddhava about the residents of Vrindavan. He's talking about what's going on for him. Those are even more special. So Narada Muni is giving Yudhishthira Maharaj, actually they are great devotees, so they are discussing Krishna's heart. This is what we do too. The reason Krishna says, Bodhayanta parasparam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. When my devotees speak about me, they are satisfied and happy. Why? Because they are speaking of Krishna's heart. Whatever degree of realization they have of Krishna's heart, that is joyful for them. So here, two great devotees, Narada Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj, are speaking of Krishna's heart. Wow, look at his heart. Even with envious people who wanted to kill Krishna, Krishna is giving them Sarupya Mukti. So any comments, questions? Then I'll do 42 if nothing else. Yes, Mataji.
Nityananda Prabhu, the taking into account what you said, that you know, one's not accustomed to having that object that the mind meditates on, and painting the picture of how the Shishupal and the various kings, in fact, actually did focus their minds on that object, but it was accompanied with an emotion of anger. Now, the focus of the mind on that object, which I think you mentioned, there's Krishna is very pure. So the constant fixing of the mind on the pure object of Krishna on the part of Shishupal and these kings, it seems natural to ask the question, how is it that the anger was able to be maintained even with the mind being fixed on that supremely pure object, which is Krishna?
There are two things for bhakti. One is the fixing of the mind, and the second is the concomitant emotion behind it, as you said. Anger obstructs love. Anger obstructs love. Whereas, therefore, Rupa Goswami identifies anukulyasya, Krishna anushilanam. He didn't say pure devotional service means anyabilashita shunya, jnana karma dinavrita, Krishna anushilana. He said anukulyasya, a very pivotal word. So the absorption and anger was such that it brought them face to face with Krishna. And the outcome of it was, because they were face to face with Krishna and Krishna's touch of fighting with them, they got liberated. But because they're carrying anger, the disposition is also necessary. And that disposition is what brings or facilitates love, the right disposition. Although Krishna is the purest object, he is also expressed, ye yatha mam prapadyante, tam sthataiva bhajamyaham. Because Krishna will not violate the volition that's there within the entity. If the volition is for anger, then that's how the purest Krishna appears to them in reciprocity. They want to kill Krishna, he appears as the object for fighting and killing. But if the disposition is, I want to serve, then he approaches accordingly. So it's a, because Krishna is not unidimensional, Krishna is multidimensional. All these come into play simultaneously. He's the purest, yet he's reciprocating with the individual's volition. That's how I understood. Sorry? Yes, Madhya.
Since they got Sarupya Mukti, I'm assuming that they are fixed in devotional service after they got liberation?
Yeah, otherwise, once my spiritual master had said, if we don't develop loving relationships here, then we can't enter the Vaikuntha realm because we wouldn't know what to do there. Okay, I have the 4-am form. What am I supposed to do? Can you do arati to the Lord? Oh, I only know how to be angry at him. I didn't know how to do arati. It's just that the meaning of mukti is that they get purified.
And we see some demons who have attained sayujya mukti, and some of them have attained this kind. So is it like some of them...
Speak into the mic.
Sorry. So some of them, after seeing Krishna, they became favorable and some of them didn't. And that's why they got sayujya.
I don't know the specifics of who got Sarupya, who got Sayujya. It's described that on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, everyone achieved their Sarupa form because they were leaving their bodies in Krishna's presence. Because at the time of death, they're looking at Krishna. Now, of course, they may be thinking something, but they're absorbed in Krishna while fighting with him. That was the point Mataji was bringing up. Now, Aghasura is described as one who received Sayujya Mukti. I don't know what the story progresses as, what happens to Aghasura after that. What happened? Did he get another body? Did he become one of the sages in Shantarasa? A person in Shantarasa? I don't know the specific. I haven't researched it. If anyone knows, please. I don't know. Paramakar. Yeah.
So, we have a definition of pure bhakti, anukulyena anushilanam.
Krishna anushilanam.
So, you mentioned that why there is a word anukulyena anushilanam, favorable service. So, why it is not only anukulyena, because favorably means we are serving Krishna favorably, everything comes. Why we are using the word anushilinam after anukulyena? Because when we are saying favorably to Krishna, that means everything comes under that, right? Favorable.
Oh, simple. Because Rupa Goswami is giving us the path of sadhana bhakti, sadhana that brings about raga, that brings about prema. For sadhana, if you just say anukulyasya, who's to determine what is anukulya? How do we know? There's no frame of reference for what is favorable. So it's described that anushilana has to be there because the frame of reference is the previous devotees or the senior devotees or the perfected devotees. As they do, so do I. Here it's written. Yeah, here you go. After giving up his body, a devotee does not again receive a material body, but goes back to Godhead and receives a spiritual body resembling those of the Lord's eternal associates whose activities he followed. So we're supposed to follow the activities of the perfected devotees. So that is the anushilana.
that we have to follow the activities of the perfected devotees while doing our sadhana, and our sadhya, his goal is to achieve those things. But if person doesn't get a sadhya, doesn't achieve the goal, then he is doing a sadhana process just.
Why he won't achieve the goal?
Maybe due to some reasons. Maybe fall down or something.
Okay. But how does it violate the need for anushilana in it? The question was, is anukulya not sufficient enough?
Yeah, but the answer is, then it may not be achieving the goal, the goal of the service.
Just by anukulya? No. Even with anushilana, one can fall down, no? The point is, anukulyasya, but anushilana. Favorable, what does favorable mean? I don't know. Suppose we were told, please serve the spiritual master in a very favorable manner. Do we know what that means? Prabhupada used the example. I ask you for a glass of water, you get me milk. Swamiji, this will be very good for you. That's favorable. But he said, that's not what I asked for. Someone has to train us. When you serve such and such devotee, when you serve Krishna, when you serve the spiritual man, do like this. This is what he likes, this is what he does not like. Do like this. Correct? If anyone gave us, please serve the spiritual master. If you ever fall into a service like that, the first few times, there's a lot of learning. You don't know how to serve. When I began serving my spiritual master, what he does now, I used to do. And no one taught me how to do, I had to figure it out. And there were so many mistakes. It's something simple like driving from the airport. One of the things that I've come to understand, that he likes consistency. Every time the driver changes because of excitement, oh, I want to drive. Each driver has a way of driving. But when you regularly drive along with, at least in my case, our case, my spiritual master, there are certain things that he likes while someone is driving. For example, he doesn't like someone talking to him all the time. But new people, out of enthusiasm, can I drive, Maharaj? Can I ask you a question? Can I this? When we drive, we learn to shut up and drive. And you drive in a particular way. You don't hit the brakes hard. You don't turn, this way, because he has to swerve this way, that way, brake is this way. You're more conscious. You hit the brakes in a way such that, there are no jerks. Or when the light turns from red to green, you don't hit the gas pedal. You have to drive in such a way that it doesn't feel like the vehicle is moving. You have to be conscious of it. That's what I learned while driving. It's not just, I turn the car, driving. It's very particular. I'll give you an anecdote. I had to drive him to Detroit. So it was 5 hours. I was all excited. 5 hours of driving Guru Maharaj. It would be awesome. So I rented a special vehicle, a SUV, because I thought it would be nice and comfortable for him. And I don't know, whatever that SUV was, either the shock absorbers were very special or whatever, it was a very bouncy ride. And I was like, driving. As soon as he got off, 5 hours later, someone asked him, Maharaj, was the ride okay? He said, very uncomfortable. I thought, I was like, wow, driving 5 hours. It's very uncomfortable. That means my driving was not anukulyas, sir. Of course, no one told me, learn how to drive. Then you learn certain things. Water, certain things, car is clean. There are so many stories of how my spiritual master was so particular about cleanliness of the car. I'll tell you a story. So there's one of my godbrothers, who every time he would drive my spiritual master, the car would be dirty because he was brahmachari or whatever. He was alone, he didn't care. So every time Maharaj would sit in his car, he would tell him, clean the car, clean the car. So finally, after being reminded about 3 or 4 times, he said, okay, this time I'm going to clean the car. So he cleaned everything in the car, put even fragrance, everything. And as soon as Maharaj sat in the car, out of the blue, I don't know how or what, Maharaj put his hand under the seat, where the seat moves this way, under the seat like that, and picked out a piece of paper and told him, I told you, clean the car. That was the place. Under the chair, he had not there. But somehow he put his hand and said, I told you, clean the car. So, anukulya, but anushilana, someone, then he has to tell us this story. He likes the car this way. Then you learn, oh, okay, I'm supposed to drive this. You served your spiritual master, you know. It's not like, I'm Paramakaruna Das, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, I showed up, let me serve you. Someone has to tell you, do this and don't do that. Right? Yeah, that is anushilana. It's in the footsteps of previous devotee. Then it is anukulya, otherwise it's not anukulya. It is just trying to be cool, yeah? Okay, yeah, Jordan?
I heard Prabhupada quoted saying, like, first be conscious, become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. Yeah. Is that a similar way of, like, first sadhana, like, to be, like, to wake into, like, a state of consciousness and then start to, like, develop an attraction? Or is that different?
No, I didn't make that connection. First be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. Pretty much means be present. Most of the time, we are not conscious in the sense we are dwelling in the past, we are dwelling in the future, we are spaced out. And we don't live in the present moment. And the verse that says, na shochati na kankshati mad bhaktim labate, that devotional service begins on that platform of liberation where the person is conscious and aware. If you notice, many times we're not conscious and aware. We may be physically in a place, but mentally we're on the chariot of the mind, as it says. Quite, with a lot of horsepower, moving around. So be conscious is be aware. Here's a story of Prabhupada for you. Two stories, one back to Paramakarunas and the... So Prabhupada's personal servant was Shruta Kirti Prabhu. And Shruta Kirti Prabhu's service was, he was told, there's an adjacent room to Prabhupada's, that is where you should be. When Prabhupada rings the bell, you should come. Okay, fine. I'll be there. And Prabhupada's schedule was, he would wake up at midnight and sit in his, you know, wash his face, brush his teeth, get into translation. And so Shruta Kirti Prabhu would be right there all the time if Prabhupada ever needed anything. He was aware Prabhupada would awake. And so Prabhupada told him, don't go for Mangala Arati, stay here because I'll need you. But Prabhupada also told all the devotees, you must go for Mangala Arati. If you don't go for Mangala Arati, you'll fall down. They're heavy statements. Everyone should go for Mangala Arati. So all his god brothers, when they were meeting each other and talking, they would tell Shruta Kirti, you don't come for Mangala Arati. All of us are going. Prabhupada gave us instruction, we should go for Mangala Arati. You should also come. Then he was in this dilemma. Should I go or should I not go? You know, and at that time they used to preach. Prabhupada said, if you don't go for Mangala Arati, you'll fall down. You should go. So after a lot of internal struggle, he decided to go for Mangala Arati. He said, anyway, it's 4:30 in the morning. Prabhupada has not ever asked me anything. And that very day, when he had gone for Mangala Arati, Prabhupada rang the bell. Shruta Kirti Prabhu was not there. So Prabhupada kept ringing the bell, no response. So Prabhupada was angry. So when he came back, Prabhupada asked him, where were you? I've rang the bell so many times for you. Where were you? He said, Srila Prabhupada, I went for Mangala Arati. Why did you go for Mangala Arati? He said, because all the devotees said, they repeated your instruction that if I don't go for Mangala Arati, I'll fall down. And Prabhupada told him, if you go for Mangala Arati, you will fall down. Don't go. Why? Because it's my instruction for you to not go. And then Prabhupada told him, everyone's servant is nobody's servant. Because trying to please everyone without understanding how to fulfill them in the context of the spiritual master's instruction. That was not anukulyasta, anushilana. It was anukulya. Going to Mangalarti is anukulya, correct? Prabhupada told him, if you go for Mangalarti, you'll fall down. Why? Because it's violation of the Guru's instruction. And as far as the story for first be conscious, then be Krishna conscious. Shruti Kirti Prabhu, they would massage Prabhupada every day for almost an hour, hour and a half. And one Shruti Kirti Prabhu had, someone had gifted like a little vial of sandalwood oil. And they would open the cap, take the oil, put the bottle back, and then... And Prabhupada would always tell, put the lid back. Put the lid back, because you will accidentally topple it and it will spill the expensive oil. Prabhupada did not like wastage at all. Prabhupada is extremely frugal. He didn't like wasting anything. So much so that he would open an envelope. You know? Do you know what how Prabhupada would do? When he would receive a letter, he would open the envelope, make it a sheet of paper, and write in it the inside, because it's white and he didn't want to waste it. So very conscious of everything that belongs to Krishna. So he would tell them, put the lid on, put the lid on. So he told Shruti Kirti, as soon as he poured the oil, put the lid on. Yes, Srila Prabhupada, he said like that, and he forgot to put the lid on. He went around massaging Prabhupada, and when he came this side, he kicked it, and all the oil spilled. And Prabhupada became very angry. You will only become intelligent when you're 80 years old. That was the being of conscious. Be conscious of your surroundings. Be conscious where you are, who you're talking to, who's around. Just be present. That was the point. First be present. Not like the mind is always spaced out, moving from one place to another. Oh, did you say, oh, I didn't know what's going on. That was my understanding of be conscious and then be Krishna conscious.
Since we're like not used to being very conscious though, would that mean like sadhana bhakti like helps us become that conscious?
Is sadhana a method of being conscious? Sadhana is a method of being Krishna conscious. Yes, sure. That we are aware that this is the time to wake up, this is the time to come, this is the time for the next activity. We are aware of things. Yes, we could say that way. Okay. The Prabhupada stories. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. So you guys not going?